for all parts to sing, but I would suggest that since God's word tells us to sing and not hum, that we all sing together using the notes that are there. Three times in God's word, at least, the word unspeakable is used. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In 2 Corinthians 12:4, where Paul is describing his looking into heaven itself, he said how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, in talking about Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. At least four times in the Bible, the word unsearchable is used. In Job 5 and verse 9, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. And then in Psalms 145 and verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, Paul says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And then in Ephesians, the third chapter, at verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Later in that chapter, at verse 19, he said, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And Philippians 4 and verse 7 says, the peace of God that passeth understanding. As we sing this next song together and as we study together this morning, I want you to think of the word unspeakable, the word unsearchable, the phrase passeth knowledge, and the phrase passeth understanding, as we think about the great things of God. Let us stand and sing.
Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea is the grace of the Savior for sinners like me. Sent from the Father, and it thrills my soul just to feel and to know that his blood makes me whole. His grace reaches me. Yes, his grace reaches me. And will last through eternity. Now I'm under his control, and I'm happy my soul, just to know that his grace reaches me. Higher than the mountain and brighter than the sun, it was offered at Calvary for everyone. Greatest of treasures, and it's mine today. No, my sins were as scarlet, he has washed them away. His grace reaches
It is little wonder that Isaiah records the words, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways." When those of us who preach God's word and try to teach the word of God and help to explain it to others stop and think about the fact that there are some things that are unspeakable, we begin to realize how great the task is and how little we are in trying to fully understand, comprehend, and explain the great things that are talked about in the Bible. There are some things, folks, that are unspeakable. Others that are unsearchable. Things that pass all the knowledge that we have and pass all the understanding that we have. And I thought it rather interesting that in our prayer today, the word incomprehensible was used as we think about the great things of God. Now, I admit to you, there are a lot of things that happen on the level with human beings that are hard for me to understand and explain. And yet there is a way, at least, for us to put it into words and to understand. When I listened back a few weeks ago to the stated fact that Mr. Perot would spend over $60 million of his own money during the campaign and possibly as much as $100 million. And heard him reported to be a multi-billionaire, I had a little difficulty getting that into my thinking as to what's involved. And then I began to think about the fact that our national debt is in the trillions, and a trillion is 1,000 billion, and a billion is 1,000 million, and a million is 1,000,000. If I keep on, I'll get down to the dollar and a quarter we've got. But it's extremely difficult for me to understand that. I tried to put it somewhat in perspective and found out that if I gave my wife $1,000 to spend every day, that it would take her 2,739 years to spend $1 billion. If I let her spend $1,000 every hour, and I don't think maybe she could even do that. Come close, maybe. $1,000 every hour. It would take 114 years to spend $1 billion. And our national debt's in the trillions. Now, these are astounding figures, and yet I think I can sort of explain to you what that means. When I think back to time a few years ago when I was sitting late at night in Memphis, Tennessee, and watching the report of the first step on the moon, I realize that there are some things that are hard for us to understand, things that happen in connection with human life that are a bit difficult for us to understand. Here is an event where some men get into a spaceship and take oxygen and other Earth elements with them and go out into outer space and all the way to the moon and stop there on the moon and get out, and one of them walks on the moon and picks up some rocks and puts them back into the ship and brings them back to this Earth. My grandfather said that never happened, that they were just staging that in a movie theater somewhere. I believe it did happen. It's hard for me to understand it. And yet I think you and I can at least have a conversation about it. We understand in general terms. After having been on an airplane for several hours to go to Brazil, it just blows my mind to realize that I can walk in here in my office and pick up the telephone and punch in about 12 or 15 numbers, and in a matter of usually less than 1 minute, I'm talking to F.H. or Becky on the other side of the equator. It almost blows your mind. And yet these things are speakable. We can at least talk about them. But the Bible says there are some things that are unspeakable. In the first place, he says, the gift of God is unspeakable. The unspeakable gift of God. Now, you and I know the revelation of the Bible that tells us that God sent his Son to this earth. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, to die for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. I think we have a picture in mind, at least, when we talk about Christ dying on the cross and shedding his blood and being buried and resurrected from that grave and ascending back to heaven. I have at least some concept of thought when I think about Christ sitting at the right hand of the throne of God to make intercession for me. And yet, I'm not really able to understand and completely explain the greatness of that gift. When I've done everything that I can do, and I've used every word that is in Webster's dictionary, and I've put together every sentence in the best form that it could be constructed and try to explain to people the great gift of God, God says, I still haven't really attained the ultimate. Because his gift is unspeakable. Peter uses the word in describing joy, the unspeakable joy. Now, those of us that are Christians know a little bit more about this than those of you who are not Christians. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel to take advantage of the great grace of God and have been added to the Lord's church and to Jesus Christ, who understand that all our past sins have been forgiven and the blood of Christ can take care of all the mistakes that we make. We look forward to that time of living with God in heaven. We have an idea, at least, of what the joy is. And we know what it means to have that kind of joy in our hearts and to tell others about it. Yet, he says, really, really, this joy is unspeakable. It's even greater than we think it is. The third place where he uses the word unspeakable is in the description of heaven itself, called the third heaven there in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, I'm not for sure whether it's in a vision or whether I was literally caught up there, but he said, I saw heaven. And there are some unspeakable words. I'm not for sure whether it's the fact that God did not want Paul to reveal everything to us about heaven so that we could continue to walk by faith, or whether Paul himself, with all of his ability that he had, could not really completely comprehend and then explain how beautiful heaven must be. And I'm persuaded that it at least includes that latter point. The street of gold, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, perhaps these are just ways of doing the best possible manner on the human level of describing to us the beauty of heaven. And then he says, it's really unspeakable. I don't know how to explain to you how great heaven is and how beautiful it is. When I've done the best that I can do to try to take God's revealed word, the things that are speakable, and talk about the gift of God and the joy that's in the Christian's heart and the beauty of heaven, I come up short. I made that statement at the first service, and somebody said after the first service, you never did come up short. But I come up short in the explanation of the greatness of these things. It's just greater than you and I are able to understand. Then there's the word unsearchable, which it seems to me means about the same thing. Some of you that are in the audience this morning are still in school and know what it means to do a research paper. Is he not saying that if you looked at every reference that's available and somehow or other you could bring all that has been said on these subjects together and you've done all the research that you can do that you still have not fully explained the concept? It's unsearchable. First, he says in Job 5:9 that the works of God are unsearchable. You read the book of Job again and again. God reminds Job, look how marvelous and how great my works are. Where were you when I did all these things? Have you considered even nature itself? The psalmist underscores this again and again by saying, look how great and how wonderful the works of God are. When you and I look out and consider all that we have seen in the last month or 6 weeks of the colors, the beauties of nature, We've just begun to understand in our way how great the Creator is. His works are really unsearchable. The psalmist used this word there in Psalms 145, verse 3, to talk about the greatness of God. Our first song today was How Great Thou Art. I love that song. I believe I have some understanding of what's involved in it. I know compared to us, God is so great. Compared to everything that the entire human race could put together, God is greater. I think I understand something about the greatness of God, and yet the psalmist says his greatness is really, really unsearchable. And there in Romans 11:33, he said his judgments are unsearchable. It's awfully hard for you and me to think in terms of 100% justice and fairness, and to understand how God could be gracious to us with his mercy to make it possible for us to be ready, not on our own merits, but to be ready to meet him as that great judge and to receive the announcement to go to heaven, even though he is the complete, perfect judge. Just a little hard for me to put all that into my thinking, and especially hard for me to try to explain it to you. When we're dealing with a perfect judge, his judgments are unsearchable. There are things that happen in life that I cannot explain. I don't have the answer. There are things that are happening right now to those whom we love, in areas of sickness and related problems that you and I don't understand. We don't know why things are as they are, why God allows things to happen as they do. And when I look at the entire universe, at least the part of it with which I'm in contact, there are many things happening in the area of evil, particularly, that I don't understand and I cannot explain. As I read God's word in the history of the Old Testament, there were things that he allowed that I don't understand till this day. I don't understand all of God's judgments. They are unsearchable. And then he says that the riches of Christ are unsearchable. Here in the book of Ephesians, he uses the word depth and height and breadth and width and length, the ways you and I tend to measure things. And he says we see the love of Christ in these ways, and then after all of that, he says, but really, the riches of Christ and his love, these are unsearchable. When you've done all the research you can do, you still don't have all the understanding that there is about the greatness of the riches of Christ. A little later in that chapter, in the same context, he said, the love of Christ passeth knowledge. Passeth knowledge. Passeth is used there in the sense of it being beyond knowledge. If somehow or other you could bring into your mind every fact of knowledge that's ever been known, and I understand the availability of knowledge doubles at least every 7 years, but you could bring into your mind everything that's ever been known and ever been discovered by all people down through all the years, and you had every bit of that in your mind, he says you still could not completely understand the greatness of the love of Christ. It passeth knowledge. And his peace is said to pass understanding. Philippians 4, verse 7. You and I understand a little bit about peace. Even you younger ones remember when it was announced that the Gulf War had ended. More of us remember when the Korean conflict, Vietnam conflicts were over. I can just vaguely remember when the Second World War came to an end. And there are some of you here this morning who can remember when the First World War ended. You remember how great that feeling was? We're not going to be at war again. We're going to have peace. Our fathers and brothers are coming home. And it would be wonderful if we could hear the announcement, although I personally do not expect it, that there was peace in the Middle East, that all the people were able to get along with each other. At least we have a higher degree of peace than we've ever had in my lifetime in this entire world. And how great that peace is. Yet, compared to the peace that we have with God as Christians, he says there's no comparison. The peace that we have is such that it passeth understanding. Oh, I can understand that when I pillow my head tonight as a Christian, if I die before the morning, I'm in the hands of God who will care for me. I can understand what peace means within the family, within the church, the community, within the world. and what that peace with self and with God means in living the Christian life. And yet, when I understand that to the greatest degree that it's possible for me to understand it, he says it's really just a little bit farther out there. It passeth understanding. That's how great it is. Unspeakable, unsearchable, passeth knowledge, and passeth understanding. Now, if you want to know how great God is, how great his grace and love toward us are, the riches of the love of Christ, the peace that passeth understanding, how beautiful heaven must be, just remember that it's really unspeakable. And we've done the best that we can do. It's just somewhat better than that. Somewhat greater than that. But folks, along with these things that are unspeakable, thanks be to God, there are things that are speakable. You and I do not understand the completeness of God's grace, but we can speak about the fact that it has extended salvation to man. Though it is somewhat difficult for us to understand the completeness of his judgments, we can have complete understanding of the fact that he does forgive sins and how we, through faith, must be led to obedience to receive the forgiveness of those sins. And although we cannot understand fully now, only in part, then as we are known, how we live for Jesus Christ and all the blessings we have, we at least can understand what God expects us to do. To become Christians, to worship him, and to live for him. And today, although it is unspeakable for me to try to explain to you on a divine level the greatness of God and his love, it is very speakable for me to remind us all that we must have a faith that leads us to repentance, baptism for the remission of sins, to be added to Christ and his church and to live for him. And it is understandable for us to see the Bible teaching us that when we go astray, we come back in penitence and confession and prayer to God. Those things are speakable. The truth that is needed is attainable. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know that I don't understand completely the greatness of that truth, but I'm just as sure that we can understand that which has been revealed in what God wants us to do. And without hesitation, I say to you today, it is speakable, it is understandable, it's possible for us to know how Christ extends his invitation and how we are to accept it. And the way to take advantage of having those things that are unspeakable is to obey the commandments that are speakable. If you need to come to Christ, come as together we stand and sing.